chapter 14, verse 1. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest till like a hired man he finishes his day. For there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? As water disappears from the sea and river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. And then turn over to chapter 19. Beginning with verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue through the book of Job, we look to you, Lord. Jesus, you said if we believe in you, we obey you, that you would manifest yourself to us. We look for you, Lord, in our life, in this body, in this church, for our future, our family. We commit ourselves to you afresh. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Job continues, really with Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. He's gone through the first round of, you know, debates and dialogue. And now he begins the second, from chapter 15 to chapter 21. You know, again, they all take a turn and really come against Job. And Job responds to them. How the, you know, discourse goes back and forth and the dialogue continues in the book of Job. Round two. I was going to just summarize a few verses, just get a gist of, you know, what was said. If you look in chapter 15, beginning with verse 4, Eliphaz says, yes, you can cast off fear and restrain prayer before God, for your iniquity teaches your mouth. He's accusing Job of really his sin, speaking for him. You have no more fear of God. You don't even pray anymore, Job. See Rael's accusations against Job. Look in verse 34. He accuses Job of really, you know, the fire consumes the tents of the hypocrites. Why you're going through what you're going through. In verse 35, really, the deceit that he's enduring. They conceive trouble and bring forth futility. Their womb prepares deceit. You're deceitful. You deserve. You're a troublemaker. He's attacking Job. Job responds to Eliphaz in verse 2 of chapter 16. I have heard many such things. miserable comforters are you all? He, you know, you give me no comfort. You're attacking me. In verse 4, he says, I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. I could trash talk you just like you're trash talking me. But in verse 5, he said, but that's not what I would say. In verse 5, he said, I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. There's a little help here. Why don't you have some sympathy? I would, if I was in, you know, your place. If you were in my shoes, I would speak comfort to you, you know, build you up, no, not to condemn you. In chapter 17, in verse 1, he's really becoming hopeless. He says, my spirit is broken, my days are extinguished, the grave is ready for me. Are you not mockers with me? Yeah, I'm surrounded by mockers, I'm ready to die. Mistakenly thinking he was in his final days, for the Lord yet was not through with him. As things do turn around, we'll come to it at the end of the book of Job. In verse 6, chapter 17, he really, but he has made me a byword, you know, an object of ridicule. They spit in my face. They're attacking me, coming against me, as he continues. In chapter 18, Bildad, look in verse 21. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. He attacks him, and he really applies the consequences of a wicked man's life that's in sin, and he really seeks to apply it to godly Job's life. As he's coming against Job, Bildad. Job responds to Bildad in chapter 19, we'll look at a little bit later. And then in chapter 20, Zophar, for round 2, look in verse 29, chapter 20. Zophar, this is the portion from God for a wicked man, the heritage appointed to him by God. Has he really come against Job? You know, you deserve what you're getting, is what he's saying. All this trouble, suffering, trial, testing, problem, sickness, all that's come upon you, you deserve, as they attack him. And Job responds to Zophar in chapter 21, look in verse 3. Bear with me that I may speak, and after I have spoken, keep mocking. Listen up, guys, and then you can mock on when I'm done talking, he says. Look in verse 34. How then can you comfort me with your empty words, since falsehood remains in your answers? And really, a similar pattern continues through the book of Job as his three so-called friends come against him and attack him and rail false accusations and allegations against him and just hurting him with their words and, you know, kicking him while he's down, coming against Job. Job's just pleading his innocence. But again, you know, we see through the book of Job that this time of testing really brings out some, you know, serious questions in Job's life and heart, and really for us in our understanding. He in a real hopeless state in chapter 14, you know, comes up with, is there life after death? If a man dies, does he live again? He's so distraught and hopeless. And verse 1, he says, you know, life is short. Like grass, it fades away. He's coming to grips, he's aging. You know, the sickness and the reality of life, how brief it is, the brevity of life. You know, you look at it, metabolism, you know, slows down and time picks up speed as we get older. It seems like it's whipping along. As he looks at it, he says, man, time is so short. It's filled with trouble, he says in verse 1, verse 2. You know, it's troublesome. Life is filled with problems. It's short. It's troublesome. In verse 7, he says, there's more hope for a tree than there is a man. Looking at trees, you know, you cut it down. Cut it down right to the ground. You know, right to the stump. And sure enough, it grows. Charlie came over one day here a few years ago, and we cleaned out a section by our fence, just cut everything down to the ground. Next thing you know, next year it's like grown up to here. You can't stop it. That's what he's saying. He's saying you cut a tree down, and then there's evidence of new growth. And there's more hope for a tree than there is a man. Man just gets old, you know, wrinkled. Atrophies, his muscles begin to fail. As he really enters this hopeless state in verse 10, chapter 14, you know, man just dies, he expires, is what he's saying. And in verse 12, it comes to the end, and that's all she wrote. You know, once you die, that's it. What a hopeless, helpless, you know, testimony as Job comes. We see Job and he hits these lows that are so low. He gets helpless. Oh, I'm ready to die. There is no hope. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. What's the use? Then he hits these highs that are so high. But here in a low spot, he asks the question, you know, is there life after death? I mean, I have no hope in my life as short. There's more hope for a tree than there is for me. So if I had any hope, it would have to be after this life. Is there any life after death? Once we die, you know, we're laid in the grave or we're cremated or whatever, you know, do we go on living, Job says? You know, is there another life, a dimension? Is there another... does life continue, is Job's question. If man dies, shall he live again? You know, if there's any hope in this hopeless state, it has to be in the next life. It's got to be better than this. It's what he's really appealing to. The Bible answers, Jesus answers. Really, it's like kind of like a funeral service. You know, if man dies, will he live again? It's probably what I say at every funeral. But Jesus answers the question. If you turn to John chapter 11. In verse 25, Lazarus dies. Jesus comes to him 4 days later. Martha runs out to meet him, accuses him, you know, if you would have been here, you could have kept him from dying. In verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Sound familiar? It's on our jersey. On our baseball jersey. Right? You know, that's a radical statement he made. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die. Man, coming off the lips of any other man, person, you think he's totally loony. You're nuts, man. But when Jesus said it, you know, for all he's done and said, he validated his claim. Jesus having risen from the dead. Jesus telling Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, he who lives and believes in me, you know, though he die, yet shall he live. If you live and believe in me, you will never die. The answer is yes. There's life after death. Look at verse 4, chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. It's interesting because you know, Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, and he set this whole object lesson up, you know, for a reason, for a purpose. In verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. He set up the whole scene. He allowed it for a reason, that he would receive glory. Jesus, the Son of God, for who he is. As we this morning look at the truth, is there life after death? and ponder the truth of the glory of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's life after death. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, he holds the keys. I hold the keys to death and Hades, he says. He's who we face when we die. But Jesus, setting it up for a reason, with an emphatic yes. This morning we read, in 1 Peter about a living hope, eternal in the heavens, a new body. He not only restores hope, but he's a living hope. The Bible tells us we'll go on living in one state or another. The Bible tells us that we'll either be in heaven with Christ, or Jesus tells us in eternal torment without him. Even those who don't believe go on living, if you want to call that life, they go on existing in a state of everlasting torment, the Bible tells us, punishment. The Bible tells us what death is. Death is separation from the body. There's two deaths spoken of in the Scripture. One, when we die, the Bible tells us, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our spirit leaves our body. Paul calls our body a tent. God preparing a new body for us, eternal in the heavens, a house not made with hands. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, an abiding place, a new body, a glorified body. As we leave this body, we enter a new body, the Bible tells us. That's one death. The second death, the Bible tells us, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that blessed is the man who has no part in the second death. It's also separation, but it's not only separation from the body, but it's separation from God. Today, if you're not living with him, you're dead, the Bible tells us. Paul says, for he who lives for pleasure is dead while he's yet living. The Bible tells us that you can be dead in your trespasses and sins. You can be in a state of death, separated from God. As the Bible tells us and describes and defines the two states of death. Job says, if a man dies, does he live again? Yeah, absolutely. In chapter 19 in the book of Job, from this low point, he goes to an extremely high point, a spike in his faith, as so often occurs when we go through things in life. God shows up so strong when we need him most. And him going through this, he makes the most remarkable, one of the most remarkable statements in Scripture, the Old Testament, from one of the oldest books in the Bible. It's my Redeemer lives, coming into an attuneness or a conscious awareness that he had a Redeemer and that his Redeemer was alive. Look at verse 23, chapter 19. Interesting. In this revelation, he says, oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Well, that desire came to pass. We have the book of Job here, eternal book of Job. Then he goes on, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. How many tombstones have you seen with the inscription, my Redeemer lives? Oh, he says, my words would just be engraved on a rock, on a headstone. Second desire fulfilled. In verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. The Bible tells us Redeemer, Goel, what it means. The Bible tells us, and the book of Ruth gives us a good picture of it. It means, and it was encoded in the law, for the next of kin, the kinsman redeemer. The one closest, your closest relative, usually your brother. You get into a mess because of a debt that's unmanageable financially. You have to sell yourself or your property, you know, and sell off your property and or sell yourself into slavery. Then the kinsman redeemer had the right in a certain time period to redeem you. To redeem you out of slavery, you know, to redeem and reclaim and restore your property, to bring back and to restore what was taken away. Job says, my Redeemer lives. You know, we owe a debt that we cannot pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. The Bible tells us that Jesus, our Redeemer, restores all that Satan robbed and destroyed. He reclaims us from sin and captivity and bondage. He purchased us, the Bible tells us, with the cost of his own precious blood, without spot and blemish. He purchased us. He is our Redeemer. He ransomed us. Job comes out with this spike of faith saying, man, I know my Redeemer lives. And I will stand with him. You know, Pastor Chuck talks about what sustains us. You know, I've heard him say this often. Through times of trial, problem, persecution. When we're going through something we don't understand. You know, it just doesn't make sense. Job going through a major trial didn't add up. Confused, you know, baffled. I'm innocent. Why is this happening? Pastor Chuck says, you always fall back on what you do know when you go through things you don't understand. And that's where he came to. You know, and what, you know, is available for us as we go through things we don't understand. I know my Redeemer lives. I know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, that he's alive, that he's forgiven me, that I'm saved. God, who cannot lie, has promised me eternal life. I know what the Bible says. To rest on what I know. He says, you know, though my flesh, my skin be destroyed, you know, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know. You know, after the worms eat my flesh, after the body is completely destroyed or burned up. I was reminded of a story I read in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I forgot who it was, and I tried to look him up, and I couldn't. If you know, please tell me after the service. But it was someone that was, you know, martyred for his death, and he was so tenacious as they arrested him and tried to convince him to renounce Jesus Christ. He refused. And gave him several offers, continued to refuse. They were leading him back to burn him at the stake. And as he passed through a field, he stopped abruptly. He says, you know, gentlemen, I think I've made a mistake. They got all perked up because they thought, oh, my, you know, they're going to, the anti-Christian spirit, oh, he's going to renounce Christ. And he said, I thought worms were going to eat my flesh, but actually I'm going to, it's going to be burned at the stake. You know, once my skin is destroyed, one way or another, Job professes, I know I will stand before my Redeemer in my flesh, in a body, so he's saying. Even though it's destroyed, I know I'm going to stand before him. It's faith, grabbing hold of truth. What sustained him was the truth of the future glory. In chapter 14, he says, you know, back in the passage where when a man dies, will he live again? He says, I'll wait till my change comes. A promise that God gives us, you know. of a new body. I'll wait. You know, for us, we wait till the rapture takes place. Or us that are growing older might have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Whatever the case, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The Bible tells us that God has a new body for us. And this I know, Job says, that my Redeemer lives. And though my skin, you know, that's why I don't care. You know, I told Roseanne, you can cremate me. I don't care. Doesn't matter. It's cheap. It's a good deal. Because the Bible's different than, our resurrection is different than Jesus in this facet. Jesus would not let, God would not let his body see corruption. He was dead in the grave for 3 days, raised in his own body. Our bodies, the Bible tells us, is reconstituted. Now, our body can be destroyed and burned up or eaten by worms or destroyed, annihilated one way or another. And yet, I know my Redeemer lives and I'll stand before him in a new body, is what Job is saying. I will stand in my flesh. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus conquering death. Again, you know, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? As Jesus conquered death and the grave and sin. I know my Redeemer lives. And this is coming from Job. You know, after losing his family and property, everything he has, his wealth, everything, his health and suffering, and yet this faith, I know my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to stand before him in a new body. Amen. Let's stand. Familiar ground. Lord, we ask to be planted in the promised land, in your promises, Lord. You are our inheritance, our portion, Jesus. We look to you. We ask, Lord, that if there's any struggle in us, any doubt, Lord, that you would increase our faith. That we see your hand, your goodness, your love, your grace, realizing that all things work together for good, fashioning and knit. Putting together as a potter does its clay, molding us, shaping us for your purpose, Lord. We look to you. We look to you to be glorified. As you said, you put that whole object lesson together with Lazarus that you might be honored and glorified, that you'd be honored and glorified in us, Lord, in our faith, through our life in this vessel, during this time, Lord, in the life after. We look to you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.